This year, I am focused on saving and investing, but I still want to do things like travel. NerdWallet lets you compare top travel credit cards side by side to maximize your spending, some even offering 10 times points on your spending, which means you could end up with a free flight or maybe a better hotel room.
So what could future you do with smarter financial decisions? Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet, finance smarter. Reminder, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply. Cruise in style in a Toyota Camry. With available all-wheel drive and multiple driving modes, you can accomplish anything. Experience cutting-edge available tech like a multimedia touchscreen and wireless connectivity complemented by the reliability of Toyota Safety Sense. It's no wonder the Camry has been the best-selling car in America for over two decades.
Or check out a new Corolla and define your style with a model for everyone, from the sleek and affordable sedan to the super efficient hybrid and the hip and agile hatchback. There's a Corolla made just for you. Toyota has even introduced their spacious Corolla Cross as a hybrid for when your adventure calls for both maximum capacity and efficiency.
And right now, your local Toyota dealer has vehicles in stock and is making delivery on new vehicles almost every day.
So don't wait. Buy a new Camry, Corolla, or Corolla Cross today. Visit buyatoyota.com for deals, details, and more. Toyota, let's go places.
Hello, and welcome to Happier, a podcast that gives you strategies and tips for how to build happier habits into your daily life. This week is episode 310, and so as always, for a 10th episode, we have a very special episode. This episode is dedicated to all things reading. I'm Gretchen Rubin, a writer who studies happiness, good habits, and human nature. I'm in New York City, and with me, because of technology, is my sister Elizabeth Kraft. And Elizabeth, you and I have always loved to read, but there is just never enough time to read.
This is true. That's me, Elizabeth Kraft, a TV writer and producer living in LA. And Gretch, our Read 21 in 21 is helping me get through the books, so I'm very happy about that.
Yes, hashtag Read 21 in 21. But first, an update. Elizabeth, you have an exciting update.
Yes, Gretchen. I got the first dose of the Pfizer vaccine for COVID-19. Yay! So, I volunteered for a day at one of the big megapods where they're handing out vaccine in LA. And as a volunteer at lunch, I got the vaccine.
Wow.
So that was so exciting. There was cheering and clapping, and everyone was very excited about getting the vaccine. So in 3 weeks, I'll get the second dose, and then I will be good to go.
Oh, that is so exciting.
And our parents have gotten it, and your parents-in-law. So it is happening.
It is happening. Oh, my gosh. Biggest happiness boost imaginable. Now, let's jump into the very special episode of Reading. Now, in episode 305, we announced our challenge for 2021. You may have joined us for Walk 20 in 20, hashtag Walk 20 in 20. And the challenge for 21 is to read for 21 minutes every day in 2021. And Elizabeth, we have been blown away by how enthusiastically people have greeted this challenge.
Yes. I think it's like people want a excuse to read. They want license to spend time reading. Yes. And we have given it to them.
Yes. Many people have said, okay, now that we're doing this, I'm able to sit down and read in a way that I haven't been, even though I've wanted to for so many years. Now, even if you haven't joined yet, remember, now is always the right time to start. Mm-hmm. You can join anytime. If you want a PDF that will let you do a Don't Break the Chain where you can cross up every day, if you go to GretchenRubin.com/resources, there's one there especially for Read 21 and 21, because a lot of people do find Don't Break the Chain to be helpful. So that can be a useful hack for some people.
Yes. And Gretchen, before we get to all of our readers' suggestions and insights, I wanted to mention that on Happier in Hollywood, episode 193, I gave a bonus hack about reading. which I thought people might find useful, which is that after a long day of Zooming, when you feel like your eyes are sort of rolling around in your head and there's like a buzzing in your brain that won't stop, I have found that doing my 21 minutes right after a long day of Zooming really resets sort of my constitution and I feel better. So I think that is a great thing to do. I don't think it seems obvious that after Zooming you'd want to read, but it has helped me so much.
Because now that you're really underway with Fantasy Island, I bet you just have solid Zoom for
back to back all day long. And I at the end of the day, I don't even feel human, but then I read and I feel like myself again.
But you're right. It's not obvious. So that's a great hack. Also, we wanted to let people know that for Read 21 and 21, at the end of the show, we're always going to say what we're reading. In case you're curious, people seem to be, I'm always interested to hear what other people are reading.
Same.
So that'll be with the resources and the demerits and gold stars. So we wanted to let people know if you want to hear that, it's at the end of the show.
Yes. And then, Gretchen, we also want to revisit, speaking of reading, our Try This at Home that we did in episode 302. Think of a book that you read in high school or college that you still think about and reread it. We promised we would do this, and we did.
Yes, we did. So, Elizabeth, you read Chinua Achebe's masterpiece, Things Fall Apart. When you read it, did you remember it? Like, did you remember why you remembered it? What was your experience like?
Yes, it is such an amazing book. It came back to me of why I thought it was so brilliant. It's really about the start of missionaries in Africa and how that just started to change life.
Yeah.
And it was just, it's really fascinating on like 15 different levels. And so it came back to me as to why it had resonated so much when I read it. It was sort of a window into a totally different world. When I read it, I knew nothing about. And I think that's why it stuck with me so much.
Well, it's interesting. I would say exactly the same thing about the book I reread, which was The Pillow Book by Sei Shunagun. Both of these books are kind of like towering masterpieces of world literature. So I guess maybe it's no surprise that they're memorable because they've been around for decades and in my case, hundreds of years. And The Pillow Book, I remember it was clear to me exactly why it caught my fancy and stuck in my memory because it has this very interesting loose structure. It's nature descriptions, diary entries, character sketches, little anecdotes. And then there are also these lists where Sei Shunagun writes these lists of like things like elegant things, unsuitable things, splendid things, things that have lost their power. And I love lists and I love this way of capturing ideas and it's so beautiful. And then there's this really interesting thing in the book. And I think this is something added later where the sections are titled according to how she opens the section, which ends up being super poetic. So like one section is called Once During a Long Spell of Rainy Weather. And it was just even reading the section titles was very poetic. So I was really happy to revisit it. And, you know, I'm writing a book about the five senses and she writes so beautifully about the five senses. It really had a lot of resonance for me. So this turned out to be a really useful exercise for both of us.
Yes. And we heard from so many listeners who were excited to reread a book that resonated with them too.
Yeah. I think it's sort of like somebody just telling you like, oh, go do this. You're like, oh, I've been meaning to do that for years. Now we have tons of hacks and suggestions from listeners, but Elizabeth, I know you have a couple hacks and I have a couple hacks. So what's one of your hacks?
One of mine is to create a stack of books that you want to go through. I did this. I sent you a picture of it.
Yes, you did.
And it's like, that is my stack of books. And I am just, as soon as I'm done with one, I'm just going to the stack and getting another. And it's just helpful to have them all in one place.
Right. I would also say that sometimes people have decision fatigue from deciding what to read next. And a way you can, if that's an issue for you, you can make a stack and then just decide, I'm just going to read whatever is next in the stack. I'm not going to poke around and pick what I feel like at the moment. I like to read that way, but a lot of people just read what's next as a way to just get started on the next book. You put it in the stack. So at some level, you want to read it. Just get going. I have two hacks. One is, when you're reading, put your phone out of reach.
That is great advice.
Because if it's right there and you're in the habit, as we all are, of checking your phone, you might just get distracted by having it there. Whereas if it's in the other room, if you're anything like me, once I'm down on the sofa, I'm like, it's hard to get me up. I want people to wait on me hand and foot. I don't have to get up again. Put your phone out of reach. And also, read what you want. Sometimes people, they're like, I shouldn't be reading only mysteries, or like, I love children's literature and young adult literature, but some people are like, oh, I should be reading something else. Read what you want.
Yes.
Because you just read so much more when you're reading what you want.
Reading leads to reading.
Reading leads to reading. The more you read, the more you want to read. That is the truest rule of all. Okay, listener hacks and suggestions for getting more reading done. I love this one from Catherine because she mentions Nora Ephron. And Elizabeth, you and I are both huge fans of Nora Ephron.
We sure are.
Catherine says, for my yearly list, I always like to do at least one reading-related item. For 2020, I read the collected works of Nora Ephron, and it was fantastic. And this year, I had the idea to do 12 books from 12 loved ones. I'm asking 12 loved ones, some family, some friends, a variety of ages, to recommend one of their favorite books, and I'm going to read one every month. I'm thinking of it as a way to read books I wouldn't normally read, like my favorite uncle reads science fiction all the time, I never do, connect with the people I love, and maybe learn something about them. I think this is a great idea.
Yes. And it reminds me, Gretchen, of the Try This at Home we had in episode 309 to heed a suggestion. If someone suggests a book, read the book.
Yeah, I think this is great because it's going to make you closer to them and get and also expose you to books you wouldn't otherwise read. I think that's a great idea.
Diana noted how much she loves to read in the same room as other people.
There is just a special joy of silently reading in a room full of people who are also reading. I absolutely agree with that. Several people noted that they had reconfigured their homes and apartments to make a more inviting space for reading. You know, it doesn't have to be big if you have like a cozy chair and a good light. And a lot of people said that how much satisfaction they got from sort of reclaiming an overlooked or neglected place and turning it into this really pleasant place to read. So if you have an overlooked place, think about creating a book nook, as we called them in grade school.
And Gretchen, we also got a lot of suggestions for podcasts related to reading. Some have interviews with authors or reviewers. Others are discussions about a particular book. So we just wanted to mention some of these.
Yeah.
There's Backlisted.
I love Backlisted. I just discovered it and I'm obsessed.
Moms Don't Have Time to Read, which is a hilarious title.
This is a friend of mine's podcast.
Slightly Foxed.
Okay, I have been recommending the publication of Slightly Foxed for years. It's great for people who love to read, and they have a podcast too.
There's In Our Time Culture.
Yes. So there's In Our Time Culture, In Our Time History, In Our Time Science, and In Our Time Culture, like there's books like Jane Eyre or Beowulf. So those are really great. I also recommend Currently Reading. I just on that, did an episode there. Another friend of mine has an excellent podcast called But That's Another Story, where he talks to authors and about the books they love. What Should I Read Next with Ann Bogle. The Book Review, that is hosted by the New York Times Book Review editor, Pamela Paul, who's also a friend of mine. Wow, I didn't realize I had so many friends who have book podcasts. I guess that's not a surprise. And then New Yorker Fiction.
Yes.
In the show notes, I'll include even more. We can't even go through all the ones that but those are some of the ones that we heard about most from listeners. So, and I will also post a link to an article in The Guardian called The 10 Best Book Podcasts. If you want to read about yet another list where they're all described, I'll put a link to that in the show notes.
And then Gretchen, Stephanie wrote in about a great reading challenge. She said, I wanted to let you know about the Black Lit Challenge, which can be found on Twitter and YouTube by someone named The Artisan Geek. Great name. Yeah. It is taking place from February 1st to 28th and aims to increase awareness of work by Black authors, which I think is something you're interested in. There are 5 challenges over the month as listed below. 1, read a book outside your comfort zone by a Black author, something that you usually wouldn't pick up. Maybe you never read mysteries or sci-fi or novels. 2, read a book with a Black person on the cover. 3, read a book written before the 21st century by a Black author. 4, read a book by a Black author from outside the U.S. or the U.K. And 5, read a book recommended by Ina.
Okay, that last one is a little mysterious. This is an interactive video recommendation. It's really cool. So I will post a link in YouTube, both to the whole challenge and then also to this recommended by Ina. Ina asks you a series of questions and then recommends a book for you. And the funny thing is, I did it, and the recommendation I got was a book that I just bought a few weeks ago. I haven't yet read it, but I already own it, Witchmark by C.L. Polk. So I figure it must be pretty good since I had, in fact, decided that I wanted to read it. So this is fun. I think a lot of listeners really enjoy challenges. And so this is like a really creative way that Artisan Geek put a lot of challenges out there. That's really fun.
And Gretchen, this is a suggestion from someone named Gretchen, not you. She says, you've mentioned different kinds of book clubs, and I wanted to share the two that I am in. A friend from high school and I both love reading and discussing books, but we live in Chico, California and Nashville, Tennessee. So a few years ago, we started a long distance book club for just the two of us. A couple of times a year, one of us will send a box with a couple of books we have read with a sealed letter with our notes about each one for the other to read when they finish. That reader then writes their thoughts about the books and answers any questions from the giver's notes and adds it to the next book box they send. The other book club I'm in is also just two people. When everything shut down due to COVID, I wanted some kind of intentional, fun thing to look forward to. So I asked my husband to start a book club with me. We both love mystery novels, so we call it Gretch and Mike's Murder Mystery Book Club. When we have both finished the book, we meet in our library, a reading nook in our family room, with fun drinks and have our discussion. It has become such a fun thing for us to share and enjoy together.
Well,
I love that.
These ideas made me think of you because you're a big fan of the two-person book club.
I am. I think it's a great idea.
I like this idea of mailing the back and forth. And I think some people would not want to write the letters, but I think you could just send the books.
Yeah, and talk.
And talk about it.
Zoom, yes.
These are great ideas. Wonderful ideas.
All right, Gretchen, coming up, we have some suggestions of tools and apps to help you read more. But first, this break. When you're hiring for your small business, you want to find quality professionals that are right for the role. That's why you have to check out LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs has the tools to help find the right professionals for your team faster and for free. LinkedIn isn't just another job board. LinkedIn has a vast network of more than a billion professionals, which makes it the best place to hire. It gives you access to professionals you can't find anywhere else. LinkedIn does all that while making the process easy and intuitive.
I know that when I've been hiring, it's really hard to do. It's really hard to find quality candidates. It's really hard to handle the process. Hiring is easy when you have lots of quality candidates, like with LinkedIn Jobs. It's so easy, in fact, that 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/Gretchen. That's linkedin.com/Gretchen to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply. We all know that our life and our health can be improved when we eat nourishing, healthy meals, but it can be hard to maintain. With Sunbasket Meal Kits, it's easy because they take care of the details. Sunbasket offers 18 chef-crafted, dietitian-approved recipes each week with options like Mediterranean, carb-conscious, vegetarian, and keto-friendly. The recipes are quick and easy to follow, and you can enjoy a meal full of organic produce and clean ingredients that's ready in 30 minutes or less.
Try mouthwatering Sunbasket dishes like salmon burgers with lemon dill mayo and seared squash, or steaks with chimichurri and harissa roasted sweet potatoes. My son Jack loves salmon, and he loves the Sunbasket salmon burgers. Go to sunbasket.com/happier today to get $45 off your first order. That's sunbasket.com/happier to get $45 off your first box plus free shipping. Okay, Gretch, we're back talking about reading, all things reading today. And we have some great suggestions for reading tools, starting with one that you found.
Yes, someone, a listener had recommended this to me. I don't remember who. I'm sorry, I can't give you credit. But anyway, so I often will turn out my light earlier and then Jamie will read in bed next to me. And he was using a book clip. But somebody was like, no, I have a much better system. It's called the Legil Rechargeable LED Book Light Neck Reading Lamp Hands-Free Adjustable Brightness. I will put a link to it. It's hard to describe. It's like wearing a snake around your neck. And at the tail and the head are lights that you can adjust, and it's very bendable, and so you wear it around your neck. And Jamie much prefers it. He says it's much, much easier to use. And I have to say, for me, I see less light from this way than I did when he had the book clip. And it's also something like if you knit or you're working on a puzzle or like you're doing a home repair where you're trying to get light, it would work very well for that as well because it just shines the light wherever you want it to go. So I don't use it because I just go to sleep earlier, but Jamie gives it a big thumbs up. So I will put a link in the show notes if you want to have a reading light that's very focused like that.
Yeah, I'm going to order one for Adam for Valentine's Day.
Oh, good. Nice.
Okay, here's a suggestion from Amniot. When my Kindle broke, I realized I preferred the phone, much less likely to misplace and easy to read with one hand. Anywhere you can check for texts, you can read a book, waiting in line, taking a walk. That's interesting, Gretch. Sarah, my writing partner, loves reading books on her phone. She does exactly what's described, the one-handed scroll of the book. I cannot stand it. Maybe it's because my eyes aren't good enough, but oh my gosh, I do not like reading books on my phone.
This is a great example where there's really so many different preferences. Some people want audio, some people want a physical book, some people want a Kindle, some people want their phone. There's so many different ways, and I would never read a book on my phone. Never, 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 never.
No.
But some people, that's their preferred way. And so maybe it's worth experimenting with it. I remember a long time ago, a listener said that she deleted a soul-sucking app and replaced it with an e-reading thing. And so every time she was automatically going to the soul-sucking app, her book popped up. So that was
yes,
a good
I remember
angle.
That too.
Amanda said, I find two apps helpful. One is called Strides, and you can set it up to ask you at a certain time of the day if you hit your goal or habit, and it can be anything. Alyssa, that reminds me about how you and Amanda check in with each other during the day to say, where are you with your steps?
Yes.
So you get reminded, like, get on it. Don't forget about this. The other one I like is Time Clock to help clock in for my 21 minutes. I find having this app opens keeps me more mindful of how much time I've spent reading, especially on days when I feel I'm easily distracted. So those are two apps.
Joanna says, one of my big goals for 2021 is to run the year, meaning run 2,021 miles during a calendar year. Wow. I love listening to audiobooks and podcasts while I run, but I hate running with earbuds in because it can be disorienting and dangerous. So I've just been running with my phone playing out loud, which is the worst. It's often hard to hear. It's awkward to figure out where to put my phone, and I'm sure it annoys other people. I knew what would solve my problem, wireless headphones that sit outside your ears and use bone conduction so you can hear what's around you as well as your media. But the pair I wanted was $150, and as a major underbuyer, I just couldn't make myself do it. Until Read 21 in 2021, I decided that if I'm going to run 2,021 miles, I could pair that with racking up as many audiobooks as I could to satisfy this challenge. The thought of limping through 50 audiobooks with my current sad setup was too much, so I finally bought the damn headphones. I get so excited every time I think about them. I don't think I could have made this purchase if Read 21 in 21 wasn't a thing. So thank you for giving me the official excuse I needed to make my life happier in this small but meaningful way.
Well, good tools make any activity a joy. Here's another thing related to earphones, which I did not know about. Juliet, she was mentioning a suggestion that we discussed in episode 303 about using the sleep timer on your phone so your podcast or audiobook automatically shuts off. She said, my additional hack is to use sleep phones. These are flat earphones in a headband so that it's more comfortable to lie on your pillow with them. They also don't fall out like traditional earbuds. Some versions come as an eye mask too. I believe some people wear them for running, working out, and yoga. And I looked at this. I'd never heard of this. It's more like a wide headband. I could also imagine this would work like if you were sick in bed and they were coming out or you wanted to lie on them. So I'll post a link to those because I had never seen anything like this. So I think for the right person, this could be a real find.
Gretchen, many people talked about this app, and we have talked about it before, but it's worth mentioning again, the Libby app.
Yes.
If you want to use your public library, you can check out books like on this app.
Yeah.
And my gosh, what a game changer. Yes. It can completely change your ability to read books without paying anything.
Yeah, many, many people mentioned the Libby app. Roxanne had an interesting use of the strategy of pairing, which of course is one of the 21 strategies that I write about in Better Than Before. She writes, I often fall into the trap of waiting until I have free time to read, but your upcoming challenge inspired me to take a different approach. A goal that I have for myself is to increase the frequency of sheet pan and crockpot meals throughout my week. aka meals that don't require a constant supervision. I feel very obligated to spend time making healthy meals from scratch, but I know that I could make it more efficient. My plan is to pair these two things together. And so while dinner is cooking all on its own with no real supervision necessary, I can sit down and enjoy my reading without feeling guilty that I'm not being productive. So this is a brilliant way to kill two birds with one stone.
Yes. Shauna says, super delightful challenge. I'm going to go a step further and read 21 minutes of fiction and 21 minutes of nonfiction. So she's going to read 42 minutes a day.
Excellent.
Okay, Gretch, coming up, we're going to share a great Icelandic custom about reading. But first, this break.
Eating processed food for every meal isn't healthy for people or for dogs. We all know that. And kibble is subject to multiple rounds of high heat processing, making it an ultra processed food. The farmer's dog is real, fresh, healthy food with whole meat and veggies gently cooked in human grade kitchens to preserve their nutritional value. My dog Barnaby loves the farmer's dogs. When he sees me pulling one of those packets out, he comes running. It's personalized, vet-developed, and it has recipes for as little as $2 a day. Meals arrive in pre-portioned, ready-to-serve packs, and they're conveniently delivered on whatever schedule works for me.
Get 50% off your first box of fresh, healthy food at thefarmersdog.com/happier. That's 50% off your first box at thefarmersdog.com/happier.
We're so excited to introduce you to Great Jones. Great Jones makes high-quality, thoughtfully designed cookware that's so stunning you won't want to put it away. They have everything from Dutch ovens to ceramic dishes to non-stick sheet pans. They've got everything you want. I have the Saucy, which is a terrific saucepan. It has curved sides. It has a pouring spout. It has a lid. And it looks so elegant. It's really a pleasure just to look at it on the counter, even before we're using it.
Yes, I love all the colors.
Yeah.
They make stunning gifts that are actually useful. Weddings, housewarming parties, birthdays. It's the perfect gift for the foodie in your life. So upgrade your kitchen and replace those old rusted hand-me-downs with bold, beautiful, long-lasting pieces from Great Jones. Get started today at greatjones.com and get an extra 15% off your first order with promo code HAPPIER. That's greatjones.com, promo code HAPPIER.
This is a terrific idea. I cannot believe that I have not heard of this custom. It turns out that in Iceland, they have a tradition called Jólabókaflóð, which translates roughly to Christmas book flood. And this is a custom where people give presents, often books, on the night of Christmas Eve, and then people spend the rest of the night reading. So Katie writes, several years ago, I learned about the Icelandic Christmas Eve tradition of Jólabókaflóð. I convinced my family, husband, kids, parents, siblings, and siblings-in-law to adopt it. We're Jewish, but we're always in non-pandemic times together at Christmas time. We go out together to buy books. We choose our own. 2 years ago, I decided that that day would be a great way to start a habit of daily reading. So my streak started on Jólabókaflóð 2018. Okay, well, let's look forward to that.
Gretch, I see this in your future.
Yes, Jólabókaflóð 2021. Excellent.
Sandra says, so I'm going to walk 20 minutes for 2021 and read 21 minutes for 2021. Get it? It's going to be 2021. How did we not think of this?
Love it. 2021. Walking and reading, the perfect combo. Emily said, I just wanted to tell you how much I love reading 21 and 21. Only 1 week in, and I'm more than halfway done of my first book of the year. I'll be finished in a few days and on to my second one. I really can't believe how many pages I can read in 21 minutes a day. I love to read, and I often felt like I just didn't have enough time. But through this challenge, I realized how a little time consistently can go a long way. Now I am so excited to think about how many books I'm going to get through this year reading 21 minutes a day. This is exactly what we were saying. Reading leads to more reading, and when you read consistently, you can get a lot of reading done.
Yes. Now, Gretchen, we need to talk about some big reading debates.
We've been debating these ourselves. Okay, first question up for debate. Do you read multiple books at once? Elizabeth, what do you do?
I do not. I read one book at a time. I hate reading multiple books. How about you?
I always read multiple books at once. Jamie converted me to this. He reads multiple books, and now I read multiple books. Okay. Yes. Different moods. I have them in different places in the apartment. Yes.
Gretch, next question. Do you use bookmarks?
I rarely use a bookmark. Do you use a bookmark?
Not very often. I have some great ones that are like pictures of Jack laminated, but of course I never know where they are. So I always end up either using the flap if it's a hardcover or dog earring if it's paperback, which some people think is sacrilege.
Yeah. Well, I just like rip off a piece of scrap paper and use it. But that leads me to the next question up for debate. Do you mark up books or dog ear books? Yeah. So you dog ear books, Lisa. Do you mark them up?
Yes. I don't usually mark them up. Rarely.
I mark them up like crazy if I own them.
Yeah, that is your signature.
Yes. And here's a great debate. We talked about this before, but we have to include it because there is such a raging debate. Do you put down a book if you don't like it?
Oh, it's hard for me to put down a book. It really is. I'm trying to do it more often because I know you think it's important, but it's hard.
I just think you get more reading done that you enjoy.
But it is true that I suffer, and I know a lot of people do, from if I don't like a book, I don't want to say, okay, I'm not going to read it, but then I don't want to read it so I can go weeks without reading anything.
Well, see, this
so
is
the
thing.
That's the downside.
Yeah. That is the downside.
Yeah.
Okay. So on from debates, here's a know yourself better question, Elizabeth, because I'm dying to hear your answer to this. What was the first book you remember reading that made you cry?
Okay, I remember this very specifically, Gretch. It was a children's book called Sylvester and the Magic Pebble.
Yes.
And I think he was a donkey who accidentally wished himself to become a big rock. And he was trapped in this rock. And his parents were walking by and missing him. And he could hear everybody, but he couldn't get out of the rock. And I just sobbed.
You did. I remember that. All the way back to our childhood. And in fact, Elizabeth, I don't know if you remember this, but you hid the book. You were so terrified that someone would try to read it to you again that you like hid it under the cushions of a sofa. And I remember later I was talking to a professor who was a professor of children's literature. And I mentioned to her this episode and she said, I don't think people should read that book to children because they always worry that their wishes will come true.
Oh.
And in the book, a wish does come true. So it's a terrifying idea.
Yeah, well, it had me sobbing. What about you?
Oh, Charlotte's Web by E.B. White. Yeah. I still remember it. I cried for like 3 days straight. Of course, I still, every time I read the book, I sob.
Yes.
Yes. So listeners, we would be very interested to hear what was the book. Was it Little Women, perhaps? That's very sad. I would be so curious to hear.
Yes.
Now, let's talk about the four tendencies briefly, because this is a place where you can harness the energy of your tendency to help yourself stay on track. So I've talked about the four tendencies so much. I will put links in the show notes if you want to go back and listen to a description of what they are. I will also put a link to the quiz, which is at quiz.gretchenrubin.com, where you can take the free quick quiz to find out, are you an upholder, a questioner, obliger, rebel, and what that means generally. But because a lot of people already know about the tendencies, we'll just race through quickly how each of the tendencies might use the strengths of their tendency to follow through on read 21 and 21.
So, Gretch, how would an upholder harness their tendency?
So upholders tend to do pretty well with this kind of thing. It might be useful to put it on the calendar. Like for upholders, if it's on the calendar, it's very, it's going to get done. So maybe pick at the same time every day, if you could do that, or at least slot it in so that like you see it appearing on your calendar.
And how about questioners?
So questioners always need to know why, and they love to customize. So you really want to think about, why do I want to do this? Why do I think this is the best use of this 21 minutes? How can I set myself up and customize this to work the best for me? I can imagine questioners being like, I'm going to read, you know, whatever 21 times 7 is in one day, or I'm going to read, you know, every other day for twice as long. Like they love to customize. And so for questioners, it's like really figuring out how to make this customized and most efficient, and that makes the most rational sense for you.
And then, Gretchen, how about my group, the obligers? There's a lot to do to help an obliger read more.
Yes. So obligers need outer accountability. And I think for a lot of people, the fact that we're doing this itself creates outer accountability.
Yes.
And if you want us to be your accountability partners, email us and we will give you your gold stars and encourage you to join. Post regularly on hashtag read21 and 21, because then you'll have this feeling like people are expecting you to check in. And the more, there's social proof. The more people are doing it, the more other people will feel like they should be doing it too. So you're helping other people while you're helping yourself. Remember, the motto of the obliger is you can count on me and I'm counting on you to count on me. You could also join a book group. You could tell your children you're going to read the books they're reading for school so that everybody can discuss it. You could tell your children that while they're doing their homework, you're going to be doing your reading work. And if you're not doing your reading, they don't have to do their homework and they will police you. You can think of setting an example for other people. Habits are very catching. If you're reading, other people are likely to pick up a book if that's something you would like other people to do. Social media is a great way. The Better app is a great way. You just want to think about creating that outer accountability.
Okay, and finally, rebels.
So rebels, think about your identity and your pleasure and what you want. So you could say, well, this is who I am. I'm a reader. I've always been a reader. Or I love poetry. Of course I'm going to read poetry. It's your identity. And then it's also like, this is what I like to do. Of course I'm going to read because this is what I like to do. This is what I choose to do. 21 minutes. I don't need 21 minutes. I'm going to do it as long as I want. And I will say that for some rebels, it can be helpful to do something when they feel like they're breaking the rules a little bit. So like I was talking to one rebel who did it during her work day because she's like, it felt a little bit illicit.
Yes.
But you know, she's working from home. Like who's to say? But it was kind of like, ooh, it's a lot more fun to read, you know, at 11 a.m. when everybody else is like going through their email. I am kicking back with a novel. I'm like, that sounds great.
Yes.
Yeah. So remember, whenever it is and wherever you are, there's always a book waiting for you. If you want to read a post where we talk a lot about this challenge with FAQs and all kinds of other resources and links, I'll post a link to that in the show notes. Again, we talked about this for the first time in episode 305. Elizabeth, I think this is just a delightful challenge. We need delight in our lives in 2021.
Yes, we do.
Yes. So let us know if you do tread this at home and how hashtag Read21 and 21 is going for you. And if you have any additional hacks or suggestions, we will be checking in throughout the year. More reading for all. Let us know on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. Email us at podcast@gretchenrubin.com. As always, you can go to the show notes. This is episode 310, very special episode, for everything we talked about.
More reading for everybody.
Yes. And that's it for this episode of Happier. Remember to read 21 in 21. The resources for this week. You can subscribe to my free weekly newsletter called 5 Things Making Me Happy, where I ask readers and listeners questions. I share what I'm learning and reading, and I share 5 things making me happy. You can join at gretchenrubin.com/newsletter. And remember, I have created a PDF for your 21 for 21 list and for Read 21 in 21. You can get those at gretchenrubin.com/resources.
And Gretchen, we have to share what we are reading this week. I am reading The Vanishing Half by Britt Bennett, which was a big bestseller, and it's a great book. Hey, Gretchen, what are you reading?
I am reading a book called A House of My Own, Stories from My Life by Sandra Cisneros. I just started it, and I absolutely love it.
Oh, yay. Thank you to our executive producer, Chuck Reed, our engineer, Bob Tabador, and everyone at Cadence 13. Get in touch. Gretchen's on Instagram, @GretchenRubin, and I'm @LizCraft. Our email address is podcast@GretchenRubin.com.
And if you like the show, please be sure to tell a friend, especially if there's a friend you think would like to join us for Read 21 and 21, and subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you listen to your podcast.
Until next week, I'm Elizabeth Craft.
And I'm Gretchen Rubin. Thanks for joining us. Onward and upward.
For public library card holders, The Libby app, which is available for public library card holders. I sang library card wrong. The Libby app, which is available for public library card holders.
I think you have public wrong. If you want to use your public library.
Yeah. And then there's the Libby app. If you want to use your public library, let me say it again because
from the Onward Project.
Gretch, I know from my own experience that baby making is not always simple. There is a lack of knowledge surrounding how to get pregnant. And when you want to conceive, there can be a lack of understanding and resources. Frida Fertility is the only one-stop shop that makes it easier to make a baby with a set of solutions for everything from reproductive health to ovulation tracking to conception aid.
Frida is simplifying the journey to parenthood with products that help you go from trying to making a baby. Frida products are innovative, easy to use, and accessible, from ovulation prediction to at-home insemination kits. This is baby making simplified. Find Frida Fertility on Amazon, at Target, and select CVS stores near you. That's Frida Fertility, F-R-I-D-A, Frida Fertility.